Okay, so we'll continue with our look at Gan Emunah, the Garden of Faith. We said yesterday that there were two ways of proving God's existence in the world. One was an intellectual way, the negative proof, which is that a person considers the world around him in all of its detail and reasons for himself, how could it be this way? How could this world come about? What evidence do I have in front of me? A person sees with his own mind that there's no other explanation. Maybe individual things can be explained. Maybe we could explain the existence of man. Maybe we could explain how an individual person works. Maybe we can explain my life. Maybe we can explain discrete items. But once you put them all together, it doesn't work. Even if you can say, as a one-off, on the billion, 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 billion chance that life got started because of some random event that was a billion to one, billion, 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 billion to one, even if you accept that it could have been, you have to accept that the whole picture, every single thing, has that same framework of a billion, billion, billion to one, that this happened, that this happened, that I would be like this, that you would be like that, that we'd be like this, that the world would be like this, the world would all... So, altogether, there can be no other explanation. It's not a sensible, reasonable explanation to say it's all chance, it's all happenstance. So that's a negative proof. By the fact that there can be no other reason for this thing that we call life, the world, existence. So that's the negative proof. The positive proof is, we said, a person can ask Hashem for positive proof. Can say to Hashem, give me the proof. Show me. Positive proof is, we make a hypothesis. If this and this happens, then I know it's true. So you make up your own hypothesis, Hashem. If you exist. So yesterday the Rav Arash made some tests of Hashem. So one I mentioned yesterday was that he asked Hashem. He said he was in university. He was doing his exams. He said to God, "All right, God, I now understand that you must exist." Like he reasoned, right? Went through what could be what. There must be, you must exist. Now, I want you to prove it to me. Right? If you exist, then you can make me, you can give me the answers to the test, the big test tomorrow, and I'm not going to learn, and you're going to give me the answers. And he didn't learn, and he passed it he did that a few times. After I told that story, I remember there was another thing he said. He did. His brother was in the army at that time. He was in university, his brother was in the army, up north in, I think, like Kiryat Shmona, somewhere way up north. And he hadn't seen him for six months or more, he hadn't seen his brother. So he said to Hashem, and he was living in Tel Aviv, right? So he said to Hashem, I want you to bring my brother to me. I'm going to sit here, I'm not moving, I'm staying in his apartment, I want you to bring my brother to me. Lee Neddy, he says, he writes there that 2 hours later, there was a knock on the door, and it was his brother. And his brother, his brother said, he said to his brother, "No, how come you're here?" Well, he wasn't expecting him or anything. So his brother said to him, "So unexpectedly, they gave us a day off, and I was going to go back home to the parents, but for some reason I decided on the way I'm going to stop at you. I have no reason why I'm here. It just came into my head to come and see you, so here I am." So that's the type of proof we're talking about, right? Meaning that you can always counteract it and say, "Oh, it's just coincidence." Hashem works on coincidences. The world works on, that's currently how miracles take place. Right? Miracles work on coincidences, that everything is now, we're now in the realm of nature. So he doesn't do, Hashem doesn't do supernatural miracles for us anymore. But he does do hidden miracles. What is hidden miracles? Hidden miracles means that it's lefi nature, it's according to nature, but it's just extremely unlikely. Right? That you ask for your brother to show up at your house and he comes 2 hours later. It's completely possible, completely according to Teva, according to natural events, nothing unnatural in that. But it's the fact that it happened is the miracle. And therefore, because it's according to nature, it could have happened anyway. So it gives us the free choice to see Hashem or not to see Hashem. And the same goes true with everything in our life. Everything in our life is like that. My entire life is based on that same framework. That everything is happening because Hashem is making it happen. It just depends whether or not I see it or not.
Now there are, quote, open miracles.
Where?
During Protected Edge, Hamas was firing rockets. There was a rocket heading towards Tel Aviv, one of the towers.
And a wind came and blew it away.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying.
The wind should have been like a hurricane wind to blow that missile away, given the weight of the missile and the speed.
But there was a wind that could do that. There was a wind that could do that, which means that I still, and because if it was absolutely impossible, then we all have to believe in it.
It would be absolutely impossible.
No, so it wouldn't be. It can't be the case. You can't have a provable, impossible miracle at this time. You can't. It doesn't exist. No such thing exists. Because Hashem is not going to give people no choice. If you have a provable miracle, then no one can argue with it. It has to be, by definition, something that you could argue with.
People are arguing with it.
Exactly. So it has to be something that you could argue with, basically, to maintain free choice. In the old time, when we did have revealed miracles, in Egypt, where we learn this, we learn it all the way back from Egypt. In Egypt, when Hashem started doing the 10 plagues, first plague of blood, right? So what happened? Whole of Mithraim, everything, blood, even the water in the cups and in the barrels and everything turned to blood. So what happened? Why didn't Paro or that put his hands up in the air and keel over and wave the white flag?
Because the Egyptian magicians
could do the same. Why? But what could they do? They could take a little bit of water and make that go into blood. Completely not on the same scale. And completely dip, like making, turning something into, is completely different than turning everything and spitting it, and when you've got a Jew drinks it, it's water. But because you can give a person another option, he left them with the option. A similar thing happened more recently when about 20 years ago they discovered the Bible codes. Right? Mm-hmm. So amazing Torah, amazing codes, unbelievable. So what did Hashem do to give people free choice? He got some wise guy to do the same thing on War and Peace and ran it through War and Peace and said, there you go, codes. But what was the difference? In War and Peace, which was like, I don't know, 2,000 pages book or whatever, they found like 4 codes and they were very weak and they went this way and that. Whereas in the Torah, it's deep and it's with the parasha and it's connected, right? But because you can show someone something, doesn't matter how small, that they can grasp onto, say, look, there you go, can't we? War and Peace, there's definitely a code in there somewhere. Yeah, for sure they found a code in War and Peace. To maintain free choice, but if you look at it in context, content, they're completely different. Like the Torah codes are nothing like the codes that you find in War and Peace.
But even with the Torah codes, you could have someone who really doesn't know the Torah pull out words, and you can find codes in there. Whereas you have a Gadol doing the same thing, and he's finding incredible things.
But what does it mean? It means that Hashem gives us free choice. In all of these, every time we have miracles, reveal miracles, there always has to be another option. So even in our second scenario, where we pray for things, when our prayer brings results, we always have the option to assign it to somewhere else. Pray for something, Hashem, I've been childless for 60 years, please send me a kid, and he sends you a kid. Well, it could have happened anyway. After 60 years, these things happen, right? There's always going to be another option.
Now, given we're getting closer and closer to Mashiach,
yeah,
will the hidden miracles become open miracles?
No, but I don't think so. No, because until the days of Mashiach, he's not revealed. But I think that the coincidences are becoming far more and more harder to dismiss.
That's what I'm saying. With the example of the rockets.
Right, like, I mean, the rocket. Right.
There's a YouTube video going around listing every single miracle that happened during the protective edge.
Right. So a person who wants to hear that can hear that. A person who doesn't want to hear it is going to filter it through my... There's a Luktamaran specifically on this point. Which one is it? Blinad, it might be seven. Says that Mashiach won't come until the people who discount miracles and say they're just nature disappear. Says that. Says specifically in Luktamaran, I think Torah 7. Says until the top, I can't remember the exact quote, but he brings that there.
What does that mean? Does that mean that they're doing tshuva? Or does that mean...
One way or the other. They're in or out. You're either in or out. You can no longer have people... Because when people say that Hashem's miracles are really natural, they're just coincidence, then they're being a kofer, but they're destroying the way people come back. Right? He says that...
The way people come back.
Meaning that to Hashem. Because
they're doing true.
No, so what do I mean? He writes in, Rabbi Nachman writes that a person gets da'at, which means awareness of God, when he sees Hashem and not nature. The fact that we see nature and we don't see Hashem is what causes us to have lack of da'at. And that is what is our awareness of God. That's our teshuva, that's our connection. So a person can't have that and believe in nature. They don't go together. The more a person believes in nature and the natural world, the less that he has. And vice versa. The more he believes that Hashem's running the world and Hashem is completely and entirely in control of everything, then the more that he has. So when Hashem starts to reveal himself by doing these unnatural natural events, coincidental natural events that are very unlikely, but they're Hashem showing himself, and a person comes along and tries to pour water on them, so that's very it's very damaging.
You see, Hashem made a lot of miracles. It comes closer to Hashem.
It gives them the choice to come closer to Hashem.
Look at the image. How many miracles Hashem did for Israel?
In where?
How many miracles Hashem did for Israel?
When?
In the desert. In Egypt.
Okay.
He did
bring us back, because before then we were lost. Before then we were on the 49th level of Tuma. He needed all of those miracles so that at least one-fifth, depending on got out. Right? Otherwise we were all lost. Without that, presumably.
But then in the end, in the desert, same.
It
always
miracle.
So people was always complaining.
They had a bigger, stronger Yitzhak. They had the stronger Yitzhak.
So the question I have is, given all the, for lack of a better word, quote, miracles that are going on, and people been noticing them.
Some people have.
And
start to add up. Subconsciously they start to add up. People, consciously or unconsciously, it depends. Look, the media deliberately, that's the way Hashem has planned it. The media is very anti-Hashem. It's very anti-God. It's very, right? It's anti-miracles. So the man in the street is not the media.
Right.
The man in the street hears the miracles, sees the miracles, and starts to think, there's something going on, right? And the man in the street is the guy who makes Kiddush and has mezuzah and fast on Yom Kippur, even though he watches the news and the TV that tells him that's all nonsense. But that is effectively what he's fighting against. That's what Am Yisrael is fighting against. In order, meaning we don't get a free ride, even with the miracles. And the miracles really just come to give us an even balance. Mm-hmm. Right? There's more miracles going on now, so to speak, because there's a lot more, thank you very much, there's a lot more Hester Panim, there's a lot more hiddenness. The Yetzer Hara is a lot stronger. Right? Once, you know, movies, iPhones, etc. There's a lot more to battle with. Before the age of Hollywood, before the age of movies, there was no there wasn't such a need. Right? People could see God in the fact that their sheep didn't die or whatever. Right? Or their cow gave enough milk to last them through the winter. Whatever, that was enough for them to see Hashem. Right? But now, when it's battling against the big screen and the small screen,
the children survive.
So
the local epidemic.
Right. They prayed for their children to get healed, and they were healed. Nowadays, you take a few Akamol, and they're healed. So Hashem's a lot more hidden because we've advanced so much that it gets in the way. So now there's a greater need for that. It's also in order to have balance, to keep that free choice. There's still a free choice.
When I was a child growing up,
yeah,
there was a saying that there are as many stars in the sky as there are grains of sand at the beach.
Okay.
Today, that's a proven mathematical fact.
Right.
That there are as many worlds as there are grains of sand on the beach.
Right.
So when I look up at the sky and I see what I see with my eye,
right,
and then I look in magazines and I see what the telescope sees.
Okay.
I find it absolutely amazing. I mean, how can anyone think that started from like a big bang? What exploded? Wasn't there anything
nothing.
Exploded?
There was nothing before the bang.
No, you know, right. It was
Yesh Ma'ayin.
You know,
something
all of a sudden
nothing.
God shows up and right. He just makes all these things happen. And that, and for some people, a lot of people, that cannot be possible. They cannot accept that. So I think that...
But I think it comes back to free choice. The reason why people don't want to accept it is not that they can't accept it, they don't want to accept it. Because if I accept that, that's a problem. Because I'm now accepting there's a judge and a judgment, and there's one in, there's rules, and there's someone in charge, and it's not me. Right? People don't want to have that choice. Many people don't want to know that possibility. Not interested. Don't tell me about it because I don't want to hear it. Right? Because it's going to get in the way of my surf time, whichever surf time it happens to be, right? It's going to get in the way, so they don't want to know. So the information is there. Yes. True, right? And so on one level, Hashem says, "Fine, you can choose, right? Choose the beach or the Beit Midrash, right? You choose, right?" But on another side, so we've got our ultimate free choice. But on the other side, Hashem also wants us all to make teshuva, and he's also rigging it so that we're going to get there, right? So there is like this, you know, choose what you want. I don't care. You do what you want, and the consequence is in your own hands. But Hashem's also a loving Father, and He doesn't want us to have completely free choice, because completely free choice we might make the wrong one. So He is steering us, Bezrat Hashem, into that direction, and there will come a time when people are going to have to make that choice. There came a time in Egypt, and just like that redemption, the Gemara says, so too will be the next redemption. And there will be a choice. It might not be an overt choice on a ballot paper, do you want to go, right? But it will be a choice that people make internally, one way or another. Right? Because it will become, I don't know, I'm guessing, hypothesizing, maybe it will become so obvious that if you don't choose it, you just clearly chose out. You opted out. Right? I don't know, or you go with your own neshama. Like at the end of the day, when a person's, right, why do people in a foxhole turn to God, because in a foxhole they go back to their truth, and the shaman, they know what's real. But it depends, am I still going to choose that at the end of the day? Hashem might have to put me in a foxhole in order to make me see that. And every Jew, every real Jew, whatever that means, that either means all the Jews, including Erev Rav, who are going to be rectified, or it's going to be all the Jews, excluding Erev Rav, who will be somehow taken out and got rid of. But either way, every Jew is going to get back. Every Jew that has that point, that they recognize the truth in their own neshama. Each person at his own time, right? That's the plan, as far as I'm aware.
Well, I remember right after Protected Edge, Rav Lazer Brody said in one of the shir that there'll be a war in 6 months. Don't know.
Don't.
Things are happening very quickly.
We'll see. Okay, let's read a little bit. In truth, every person has a munah. But most people, unfortunately, don't live their emunah. Right, so people have emunah. I speak to a taxi driver. Taxi drivers in Israel got more emunah than most of the Rosh Yeshiva in Chutzlach.
The passengers have emunah.
Right. They learn emunah during the course of the drive.
But if you think about it.
But they're not living it. It's there. If you speak to them, right, then especially if you've got beard and payers, right, then they try and explain to you how from they are, because I don't know, it just comes out, they're like, you're just chatting to them, they'll be so, you know, I just like, occasionally I speak to them, say, where'd you live? Oh yeah, I live around here. Oh, how long have you been doing this? Oh, a few years. Yeah, but I am from, where did I come from? You know, I don't wear a kippah, but I do daven it. Oh, okay. Did I say anything? Right, but it all comes out, right? So they're full of emunah. Ham Yisrael is full of emunah, but it's just not expressed. Why not? They don't know how to bring it out into reality that they have this emunah. Right, it's in there. I know it, but how do I? It's
just exactly
right. So we're gonna because the main koch of emunah comes into expression only through a person's. Only when a person speaks to Hashem with all for all of his needs, right? How do I bring this emunah from its potential into its actual? Only through speech. Speech is that mechanism of bringing something from potential into actual. It is the mechanism that brings the potential, the thought, into the actual, the physical. It's the sound that comes out. Like you've turned potential into actual. That's what speech is. It's that activity. But on a deeper level, when a person expresses their belief in Hashem, that's their emunah, right? So a person can go around thinking he loves God, but until he expresses it, it's only in theory. The potential is for me to speak it out. So that's why we need to speak it out. That's why we need to speak out our prayers. And we can't do his body in thought. It's very nice to go out to the field and start thinking nice godly thoughts. But if we don't say anything, we don't open our mouth and put it into words, then we're not actualizing it. We're not concretizing it. We're not making it real. When Hashem created the world, he didn't think the world into being. Could have done. He spoke it. This world is created by speech. It has to have a vessel. Otherwise it's theory. Hashem, so to speak, sat there and thought about a nice world. Could be very nice. He could sit there and dream it and have it in his imagination, so to speak. We can talk about these things. But he didn't. He made it actual. So too was. We need to make our emunah actual. It's very nice to keep it up in here. Up in here I'm the tzaddik. I'm Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm Rabbi Akiva. I'm Moshe Rabbeinu up here. Very connected. What's reality? So I need to make that into reality. Only through prayer. When I speak out my tefillah, when I speak out my thoughts, so then I also see why I'm really holding. Because up here, I'm a gadol ador. In practice, I'm not really there yet. And there's a big gap between them. If I want to bridge that gap, I have to have to know what I'm holding, to know what's really me. What's really me right now is, I'd like to be this person up here, and actually I'm not. Now I'm struggling, it's hard for me to get out of bed in the morning, I get angry at my wife, I get upset at my kids, I'm really not interested in my davening so much, etc., etc. Right, everyone fill in their own blank. Right, that's where I'm really holding, that's what I need to speak out, so that I can get from my reality into where I want to be.
So would you say that, just as speech is a higher level, it actualizes your thought, so action actualizes your speech. I mean, like, you know, the expression talk is cheap. We can say we want to do this, but if we don't do it, I mean, that's the bottom line. Our action, how do we conduct ourselves with others, with Hashem, this kind of thing?
Yep. I mean, the essence of Torah is not to learn, it's to do it. So the practical is always higher. Speech, although, but the speech is our connection. The speech dafka, like, not to skip the speech or to make it secondary to action. The speech itself is the action of prayer. There is no other action. So that is the activity involved with prayer. So that's the bit that's important, the speaking out. The whole time that a person's emuna is not brought into conversation with his creator, this is not complete emuna. Therefore, in every place that we speak about emuna, its real meaning, its meaning is tefillah. Person can't, the two concepts of tefillah and emuna are one on each other. Prayer and emuna come together as one. Person can't have emuna if he doesn't have prayer. Can't have prayer if he doesn't know who's he praying to. Emunah. The prayer is the actualization of the Emunah. Emunah, the starting point, the potential is, that's where I'd like to be, I think I am, whatever, but I need to make it real. Tov, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll have a wonderful second day, Hanukkah.